Good afternoon, and welcome to Local Matters Health Matters, where we will be highlighting health issues and community concerns in the Upper Cumberland. I am Dr. Jennifer Mabry, professor and nurse from the Whitson Hester School of Nursing at Tennessee Tech University. National Nutrition Month serves as a reminder of the importance of healthy eating, making informed food choices for all of us as we are trying to take care of our health. For residents of the Upper Cumberland region, this observance highlights the need to focus on balanced nutrition, especially in a community where access to fresh food and nutrition education can vary from county to county. By prioritizing proper nutrition, we can improve overall health, prevent chronic diseases, and promote a better quality of life for everyone in our region. Today, we will explore nutrition with Upper Cumberland registered dietitian, Dr. Holly Bundrant. Dr. Bundrant is from Hope and Health Nutrition Services here in Cookeville, Tennessee, and is with us today to discuss National Nutrition Month and nutrition in the Upper Cumberland. Thank you, Holly, for joining us today. Let's talk about nutrition.
All right, sounds good. I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and I appreciate you all celebrating National Nutrition Month with us.
Absolutely. Dr. Bundrant, can you briefly tell us and the listeners about your background, your role as a registered dietitian here in the Upper Cumberland region?
Sure. So my background, I actually grew up overseas. My parents were missionaries, and my dad was our science teacher. So he had a big influence on all of us children in the family. All three of my siblings are nurses, and I am a dietitian. So I really wanted to go into nutrition to help towards prevention. And, of course, later I found out we also do a lot towards treatment, too. But it's great to be able to help in both directions. And as an adult, after finishing college and graduate school and doing my internship to become a registered dietitian, I was living overseas. And when it was time to come back to the States, I wanted to live near family. And both my brother was, and my parents were here in Cookeville, and so it's really been a blessing to have been here. When I moved here, there was a job opening with the regional health office here, and Upper Cumberland Regional Health Office, and to do nutrition counseling with the WIC program, and to get to do some medical nutrition therapy. And so I was able to work there for about 5 years, a little over 5 years, and then completed my work there and wanted to help my dad care for my mom. And so I was able to do that and also wanted to work on my business. And so I'm really thankful to have had the opportunity to do that. And
It sounds like you started out in public health.
Yep.
As the registered dietitian, and now you're in a more private practice, is the way I understand it, with Hope and Health Nutrition. And I think we talked briefly earlier, but just for the listeners to know, that service provides more of a holistic approach. You said they have occupational therapy, physical therapy. Of course, your services as registered dietitian, they have massage therapy.
Mm-hmm. And so that's Cumberland Wellness.
Yes.
That's a company, and my business is working alongside them. And
perfect.
So it's great to have the whole picture.
Yeah.
And just the heart of people to really want to help and just benefit people in the community.
All right. Well, first question then I have for you. In honor of National Nutrition Month, there are some simple dietary changes that have a significant impact on overall health in the residents in the Upper Cumberland. Can you think of or provide the listeners with a few of those examples of just simple dietary changes
Sure.
they can make?
Sure. We can get as simple as increasing fruits and vegetables, right?
Right, right.
Apparently in America, there is a large population that does not get enough fruits and vegetables. And so that's, you know, very quick and easy, kind of low-hanging fruit, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But just finding ways to increase fruits and vegetables and being creative with that. And increasing variety also, because we know different foods have different nutrient profiles. So not just eating the same food every day, but mixing it up with the types of fruits, types of vegetables, and really aiming towards being more plant-focused, plant-forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone doesn't have to become a vegetarian, but there's so much benefit to just the plant-based food. So those things are really important.
What challenges then do you see for the Upper Cumberland residents if they're trying to add more fruits and vegetables into their diet? Because as you know, across all of our 14 counties, there are food deserts. And if the listeners aren't familiar with that, you can go into what a food desert is too. But access to those healthy foods, do you have any suggestions for that for people?
Well, if there are farmers markets in the area, that's one way to do it. Other markets that are just based out of farms, I've discovered some in the area. And but, you know, finding when there are sales, when they're able to get, you know, produce in season, trying to get that. And if there is a good sale on even canned vegetables or frozen vegetables, stocking up, right, on those and saving money in the long run. And also, you know, local food pantries. I know our church, I'll give a plug for our church food pantry the second Saturday of the month at New Beginning Fellowship Church.
Okay.
So, and but other churches, you know, have food pantries. I know Stephen Street has their care center.
Maybe they can supplement them
absolutely.
In those ways and not eat the same foods all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I understand.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then on that same line, what about culture? So, you know, here you said you were had grown up overseas. Mom and dad were missionaries. You come to Central Appalachia here in Tennessee and very different culture for food and food preferences. Mm-hmm. So is there any regional foods that, that you suggest to clients or to the listeners that they can be incorporated to make their diet healthier? Because, you know, it's very hard to change people's culture.
Indeed.
But I know that you probably have some tips and tricks or suggestions.
Well, one thing, when I think of food culture in Cookeville, I think of restaurants. We have so many restaurants. And we have diversity, which is terrific. But I think so many people can veer towards eating out, and which there are healthy options in eating restaurants too. But at home, when you're cooking, you have more control over what goes in the food. And so, you know, if you can buy food locally, then maybe it's fresher. However, I know a lot of frozen foods are processed very quickly out of the field. So so you can get quite fresh food, even frozen, if that makes sense.
And in our culture, a lot of meat, you know, since there's a lot of cattle being grown, you know, pork. I know there's farm to table in that aspect as well. Do you encourage people to try to buy local, besides produce, but local meats as well?
Well,
or
because
I know that's part of the culture.
Sure. I can't say that I've ever encouraged that, but but yeah, I mean, I do hear of people, you know, buying a whole cow and or part of a cow and getting that processed.
Yeah.
And I know that can be processed here locally, and or like if someone hunts and has deer, then that can be processed. I know someone was telling me, you know, when I cook it, it has, you know, I even have to add oil to it because it's so lean, or choose to add oil to it. There's so many directions people are coming from with their food, but food is such a personal
I agree,
personal arena, right?
Yeah.
And so even making just little steps of change, you know, changing from bacon grease to olive oil, right?
Right.
Or, but I was thinking locally, too. I know there's the poke salad, right?
That's in Jackson County.
And,
yes.
I was actually looking up some nutrition from the, it is a source of fiber and iron and calcium and potassium and vitamin C. So that was one local food that I was thinking about.
Perfect.
But it needs to be cooked.
Yes. And then how you cook it, as you said, too. And then that would be that adding in those more of those vegetables to your diet that are healthy and better for you. So I think what I hear you telling the listeners is for a balanced diet, adding in more color, adding in more local, you know, fruits, vegetables, buying when it's in season.
Mm-hmm.
So
another thing to add in would be do some gardening.
Yes.
You know, if people
get your exercise.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, grow some tomatoes, grow some cucumbers. It doesn't have to be a huge garden. Do some pots on your, you know, planters on your deck
Nice, yes.
That's as local as you can get.
That is very local, yes. So a balanced diet, a balanced diet for long-term health. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Sure.
How should residents in the Upper Cumberland approach making a balanced diet with nutrition a priority in their daily lives?
Well, I think first it really has to be a choice. People have so many things going on in their lives. They're caring for children, they're working, they're caring for elderly parents. And individuals need to be able to have time to focus on their own health for themselves, but also to be around longer for their family, right? And I think sometimes that gets pushed to the back burner. So I think first making that a choice and then seeking help. If you know you're weak in a certain area or need some more information, which health professional would be helpful to go to? And of course, a nutrition and registered dietitian, is a good resource.
Good. I think that we talked about balanced diet. How about, are there specific people that come into your practice that have common questions? Like, what would be the most common question that you get for weight loss?
I don't know that people would necessarily approach it as a question.
Okay. Well, let's hold that thought then. Dr. Holly Bundren discusses nutrition in the Upper Cumberland. Registered dietitian Dr. Holly Bundren is our guest on Local Matters, Local Health. We are talking National Nutrition Month and the importance of nutrition in your life. I'm Dr. Jennifer Mabry, nursing professor from Tennessee Tech University. Dr. Bundren, when it comes to the importance of nutrition, let's talk about how a resident would be able to know if they were overeating or undereating.
Mm-hmm. That's great. We talk a lot about calories, right? Calories in, calories out. But that's so important. And the calories come from various food groups. Mm-hmm. And I really like to talk about a balanced diet. But you need to know how much to be eating, as you were talking about. So I really like to use the USDA food plans. Okay. And people can access those actually at the website myplate.gov. And I like them. One reason, they're balanced. They've got all the food groups, and people don't really have to count the calories.
Okay.
It's already been accounted for them to some degree. Of course, it really depends on what specific food someone chooses. But we used to talk about servings, but I was so glad when it changed to where we could actually talk about cups of fruits and cups of vegetables, and then the ounces. We talk ounce equivalents of grains and protein foods, and then, of course, cups of dairy. That way we can have quantifiable measures. And so within those plans, it breaks it down as to how much of each of those food groups to be getting. So once someone knows how many calories they need, then they can look through the plan to see how much of each of the different food groups to be getting in a day.
Okay.
And I do a lot of education regarding that with my clients.
Do you actually bring in a plate for them to visualize, or is it a picture that's on their website?
So each calorie level has a sheet that you can print off.
Okay.
And then it is colorful and has the amounts of the different foods to go in there.
Okay.
Now, people can talk about the plate. I tend to go with more specific numbers. So that's, hopefully helpful to see. And then tracking it is important. And I've got a couple of methods that people can use to track. And I learned from my clients. I had, one client put his information up on his refrigerator and get some magnets to move those across. And what a great idea.
That is a great idea.
So, not just knowing, oh, this is what I need to eat, but putting it into practice and then seeing how you're doing.
Yeah.
And then so, you get to the end of the day and you're like, I'm low on my fruit today. That's what my snack's going to be before bed tonight. So being able to balance things out that way.
All right. What if you have a client that is not real proficient in reading? How do you handle that? I love the idea of the refrigerator and the magnets and how many pieces, that's so visual and you wouldn't have to read.
Yeah.
Or for
yeah.
small children that aren't sure. reading yet. How do you approach sure. those clients?
Yeah. So, then it would be a lot of verbal education.
Okay.
And, someone could use pictures for that.
Okay.
But the most recent tracking method I came up with, based on the encouragement of another client, was just, I put some little boxes on the paper. And so based on how many of the different cups or ounces someone needs, they can just check it off, color it in, put a magnet on it if they want to.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's a great idea, especially for children. Mm-hmm. Make it an activity.
Yes.
For them every day. You know, I think of clients not understanding, you know, coming from my practice as a nurse practitioner, just not understanding that basic, you know, how big is a cup?
Mm-hmm.
People are surprised.
Right.
Do you find that they're like, okay, you're saying a half a cup is a serving, maybe? I mean, I'm just guessing here. You correct me. They don't really realize how big a half a cup is or a cup. They may be eating more than that or double that amount.
That's
so how do you...
possible. Well, so I have measuring cups sitting on my table at work.
I got it.
And,
yes.
Okay. So one thing someone can do is, you know, if they don't really want to measure things out,
right,
they can, if they have a favorite bowl, get some water in a measuring cup, measure how much water fills up that bowl.
Okay.
And you know from then on out how much food you're getting, you know, in that bowl.
Good.
So
good. That'd be great for grains,
mm-hmm,
or cereals, because,
mm-hmm,
you know, we're trying to teach people to eat balanced,
right,
trying to encourage them to pick the right foods, and then portion size,
mm-hmm,
is very,
right,
important.
And so, you know, the term, with you think about portions, so you think about the whole day and then how much total someone needs to get for the whole day, then break that down through the day. And so I do a lot of mapping out with clients. Okay, where do you want your fruit? Where do you want your vegetables? And that way through the whole day, they get it all in and they're helping to decide where it goes in the day.
So you're including your clients in the decision making.
Mm-hmm.
That's very good. Yes. So when you have patients or clients come back, is there any common themes that they tell you that they discover when you've educated them on portion size, and then they come back to you and they're like, I didn't realize this, or, hey, I realized that I was doing this. Is there any common themes that you see?
Well, sometimes people come back and they've not put much into practice yet.
That always happens. That
but,
always happens.
You know, that's, you know, it can be a process of getting in gear. And
yeah.
I tell people when they're getting into things, you can jump in with both feet if you want to, if that's your personality, or if you want to take it little by little, work on a meal, getting the meal according to the plan for several days and then move on to the next meal, or work on a food group, you know, little by little.
Okay, and add that in or subtract it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever have to tell clients to pull away from certain foods? Are there certain foods that you discourage them from eating or purchasing?
So, of course, added sugar,
okay,
is something that's just going to add carbohydrate and calories,
mm-hmm,
right? For the most part. And so, and if someone is really wanting to manage their weight, then that's something that can be, I can't say easily taken away, because, you know,
right,
a lot of us tend to really like the added sugar. But if it can be stepped down little by little, finding little areas, you know, is it cutting back on soft drinks, regular soft drinks, or is it cutting back on sweet tea, even going half and half, you know, half sweet, half
that's
unsweet.
That's a great example, the, mm-hmm, half and half sweet tea, because we do love our sweet tea.
Yes, here,
yes,
in the South. And one thing that I was telling my clients, and then I realized, you know, I should be doing this myself, mixing cereals, you know, a cereal that has sugar added and then a cereal that doesn't have sugar added. So
great idea.
Can,
so another half and half.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah,
mm-hmm,
yeah. Mm-hmm. What about food additives? Is there any certain food additives you encourage clients to stay away from? Artificial sweeteners to replace that? Or is that something that's okay in their diet?
Yeah, I mean, sugar substitutes can certainly help people cut back on their sugar intake and their calorie intake. So now there are upper limits set for them, but it takes a lot to get to those upper limits.
Okay, okay. Good to know. Good to know. How about supplements?
Mm-hmm.
If someone is not able to get all the nutrition in their diet, do you ever suggest them to get things over the counter as a supplement? Because,
sure,
you know, a lot of people love to buy vitamins. That's a multi-million dollar,
sure,
billion dollar, you know, industry right now in our country. And people tend to like a pill better than they like to eat food. But there,
sure,
are certain supplements I would think that you might suggest.
Right. Especially if someone, you know, when you cut back on someone's calories to help towards weight loss, even if you're talking about a balanced diet, there's still the potential to not get all the nutrients that someone needs.
Yeah.
So I like to look at that and either give some lists of foods that have some of those nutrients that could be below the recommendations, or suggest a multivitamin,
okay,
to help fill in the gaps.
Okay. Just a good multivitamin then for people to take. If they're trying to correct that nutrient lack of nutrients, I should say. Very good. Cost effectiveness for finding foods. Do you have any suggestions? I know you said buy in season. So let's take right now, spring. What are some things that, you suggest to clients to include for fruits and vegetables in their diet right now in March? Because, you know, we don't have gardens out yet, but what would you suggest?
That's a good question. I don't really know what's coming in right now exactly. I know coming up is strawberries, right?
Oh, okay, great.
June, right?
Yeah.
That would be great. And you know, we are so blessed in America to have access to foods even when they're not technically in season in our area, right? So, but I love to cut costs on shopping, so I can give you some.
Okay. Some All right. Perfect. All right. More on nutrition with Dr. Holly Bundrant. Our guest today is registered dietitian Dr. Holly Bundrant on Local Matters, Health Matters. Dr. Bundrant, when it comes to nutrition and diseases in regards to healthier living, what does nutrition play in preventing chronic diseases? So, heart disease, diabetes.
You know, there's so we've got access to so much information online.
Yes.
And we have to be careful where we go.
Misinformation is so how would you tell a listener to know then what's true, what's false?
Right. Yeah. So, you know, some of the organizations that really specialize in the disease situations. So like I'm from the American Heart Association. I went to heart.org, and they say a healthy diet and lifestyle are keys to preventing and managing cardiovascular disease.
Yes.
So just foundational. But some of their specific, you know, tips that they give along with that, use up at least as many calories as you take in, eat an overall healthy dietary pattern that emphasizes a wide variety of fruits and vegetables. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Whole grains and products made up mostly of whole grains, healthy sources of protein. They specifically say mostly plants such as legumes and nuts, fish and seafood, low-fat or fat-free dairy. And if you eat meat and poultry, ensure that it is lean and unprocessed. Liquid non-tropical vegetable oils such as canola, corn, olive, soybean, and sunflower oils. Minimally processed foods, minimized intake of added sugars. We talked about that. Foods prepared with little or no salt. And then limited or preferably no alcohol intake. Back to the you know, calories, of course, physical activity is so important.
Yes.
So that's just some pieces. Of course, that's quick. But
and that was the American Heart Association that listeners can go on to heart.org is an easy place to kind of look for suggestions. I think they also have recipes on there, too, for listeners if they really were trying to switch some things around. Going back to, you know, they suggest seafood. You know, we're in a landlocked state here, which makes that a little difficult. Do you suggest people using maybe like canned tuna, canned salmon?
Sure, that's fine. Using packed in water, ideally.
Okay, good.
And I just, you know, there's so much on social media these days. I saw someone talking, I think, about a recipe with canned salmon. And what were they making?
I know my mom used to make salmon patties.
Yeah.
You know, she would fry them,
right?
You know, is not ideal.
Right.
But
so if it can be baked,
it can be baked, or even air fryers.
Sure.
Do you suggest
people have those?
Yeah, I don't, but yeah,
I don't either.
But yeah, so great. That's so that's for heart disease. For diabetes, is there a good resource that you suggest for preventing chronic illness through diet?
One of the government websites, it's the Office of Disease Prevention and Health Promotion, which is odphp.health.gov. I found that
I have been there myself. That's a great public health resource there for the diabetes education, specific to nutrition.
So some things that they say there at one of their websites, the good news is that you can do a lot to prevent or delay getting type 2 diabetes. including reaching and staying at a healthy weight, staying active, eating healthy, quitting smoking. So you see overlap between these different, you know, diseases.
You sure do, yeah. So heart disease, same, very similar. Diabetes. And then so the last problem we really have in the Upper Cumberland right now is people being overweight.
Mm-hmm.
From either, as you stated, lack of exercise or overeating or both.
Mm-hmm.
Is there suggestions for calorie limiting to prevent obesity?
Mm-hmm. When that goes back to the added sugars,
okay.
That goes back
okay.
to, you know, not getting too much fat. No, you know, over time, we've started talking more about the specific kinds of fat and not so much, you know, decreasing fat so low.
Right.
I mean, we do. It is the highest calorie laden portion of the diet, right?
Okay.
Compared to carbohydrate and protein, it's got more calories is what
okay.
I'm trying to say per gram. And so it is good to watch that. But what kinds of fat we choose is important, too. And in general, this is not specific to obesity, but just in general, the recommendation is getting less than 10% of our calories from saturated fat.
Mm.
Now, if someone has an issue where they would benefit from lowering cholesterol, that number is lower.
Mm-hmm.
But just the general recommendation from the Dietary Guidelines 2020 to 2025 is less than 10% of our calories from
okay.
saturated fat. Same thing actually for added sugars too, less than 10% of our calories.
Mm, added sugars. Where do people find, give an example of a carb.
Okay. So bread and grains are carbs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bread, pasta, rice, oatmeal, popcorn. Believe it or not, popcorn's a whole grain.
Really?
And, yeah.
Okay.
And we're recommended, the general recommendation is that we get at least half of our grains as whole grains.
Okay.
So, so fruit has carbohydrate.
There's some carbs that are more nutrient dense than others.
Correct.
For instance, can you give us an example of a good carb and a bad carb?
Well, so we don't want to vilify anything. But,
oh, good. That was good. That was good.
But so choosing more of the nutrient-dense foods specifically.
Okay.
But yeah, so whole grain bread is going to be a better choice than white bread.
Okay.
Not to say you should never eat white bread,
okay.
but you're going to get more fiber from the whole grain than you are from the white bread.
And there's a big push right now. I don't know if your clients have talked to you about it, about making their own bread. Baking.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Big on TikTok right now.
Right.
Big
sourdough bread.
Sourdough bread,
yep.
Sourdough starter. So mm-hmm. how would you classify sourdough bread as versus whole wheat, whole
right.
grain?
Good question. So sourdough bread's going to provide some probiotics, which
what are those?
You know, those are good bacteria for
okay.
For our bodies. And but you can do different kinds of grains to make your sourdough. And so, you know, it'd be great to use some whole grain and, you know, play around with it, see what you can do. Again, you don't have to eat all whole grain. If you want to, that's great. But, you know, finding a whole grain instead of just doing, you know, a white grain with white flour with your starter.
Okay.
You know, use a whole grain.
So probiotics then is a good thing
mm-hmm.
In our diet. We've really not talked about that.
No.
Would that be what would it benefit?
Yeah, so in our intestine, we have different kinds of bacteria, and you want to make sure that you have some good bacteria in there. So fermented foods are going to provide probiotics. So I grew up in South Korea, so kimchi is something that we grew up eating.
Okay.
And so that would be a source, but the sourdough bread.
I am familiar with kimchi. That is cabbage,
uh-huh.
correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fermented there are other
cabbage.
Kinds of
okay.
kimchi, too, but the main one is the cabbage. But if someone has never tried kefir before, so yogurt has probiotics, but kefir,
okay.
from my experience, has more strains of the probiotics.
Okay, so there's different bacteria.
There
then.
Are.
Okay.
And so,
okay.
And this is an area that I could learn more about.
Right.
It's not my area of expertise, but I have enjoyed drinking kefir before.
Okay.
And, so we were talking earlier about where to shop for things.
Yes.
And,
yes.
So I tend to... I know where certain things are cheapest, and so I go to the store for those certain things. Now I've been, you know, told that I may be losing some of the money by traveling to the different places. But so, you know, finding where you can get, and can I say where the cheapest kefir is in Cookeville that I know of? Aldi is a good place
to
get kefir.
No, yeah, yeah.
And you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, trying to save resources. So, you know, that's one place where you might be able to save some resources,
okay.
too.
I know a lot of the communities in the Upper Cumberland in our 14 counties, specifically I think of like Clay County, Jackson County, Macon County, the smaller county, they don't have, you know, Jackson County has a Save-A-Lot.
Right.
So if I was going to go look for nutrient-rich foods at a Save-A-Lot, they do tend to be what's in season. But do you have any suggestions to be cost-effective at those smaller mm-hmm. marketplaces, or even a Dollar General market?
Sure.
Are pretty popular in a lot of these communities.
Yeah. Well, back to the frozen veggies and the canned veggies. But bananas, if you think per pound, mm-hmm. bananas tend to be cheaper per pound. And Kroger often has some discounted because they're, you know, a little bit browner maybe. Mm-hmm. And so if someone can come to Cookville for that. But I know one day I was at Save-A-Lot and they had gotten a bunch of bananas and they had marked them down. So, but just be on the lookout, you know, again, seeing what's in season, look at the prices and go price per pound or price per ounce to compare. So it can be a little tricky, but.
It can be. And it is, you know, I hear you saying shop around and see what you like, you know, and try new things.
Exactly. Yeah.
A lot of people, you know, may not be familiar with, like you said, kimchi or kombucha, you know, those kind of things, but they may see them at the store. I hear you encouraging people to try different things.
For sure. Get some variety.
Yes.
And with children too, you know, getting them involved in the cooking and or food preparation and letting them maybe try a new food a week or something. And then it may be an adult's not so keen to try new things, and that would help them as they're helping their child to try something.
They are. And doing by example.
Yes.
You know, if we all kind of lived by that,
we
would be better, you know, if I eat it and then maybe my child will eat it.
Right.
So we really haven't touched on hydration. So I think that would be a great place to kind of, you know, round out our talk on nutrition. Is there a suggestions, you know, in addition to eating well, which we've talked about, how can residents in our region stay properly hydrated?
Yeah. Well, you know, first, just thinking about how important water is, I was looking at one of my textbooks, and it says it's the largest single component of the body. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, involved in various things in our body. But I think first knowing how much do you need. You know, you hear different pieces of information floating around. I won't quote them, but how much, you know, water someone needs to drink, but there's actually a recommendation. It's called adequate intake, and it's based on age and gender. And
is that an app or is that on a?
It's
or just adequate intake.
Mm-hmm, okay, it's, yeah, part of the dietary reference intake.
Okay,
So knowing that, but it's interesting. You know, I think a lot of times people think it's just water that counts towards their water, but actually, what they say is. All sources can contribute to total water needs, beverages including tea, coffee, juices, sodas, and drinking water, and moisture found in foods. And they say moisture in food accounts for about 20% of total water intake.
Okay. So, but you don't want people drinking a lot of soda, I heard. So cutting out the sugar, and then our tea needs to be half and half, right?
or unsweet.
Or unsweet tea,
or
yes.
Add some sugar substitute
All right.
to it.
Well, very good. I just want to thank you, Dr. Holly Bundrant. As we discuss the importance of nutrition in the Upper Cumberland, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.